Oh, dear Sister Charmaine, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What did Jesus tell us? He said, you will have troubles, tribulations in this life, full of them, never ending, inescapable. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. David cried out in Psalm 54:4, surely God is my help. It is the Lord who sustains me. Another psalmist wrote in Psalm 105 verse 4, look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. The Lord is an ever-present help in times of trouble. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are saved. Charmaine, you handle every single suffering the exact same way, sister. Whether the sky is falling, or the buildings are falling, or the mountains are falling, or our neighbors are falling, or our family members falling, it doesn't matter what it is. We handle it all the exact same way. There is no different. It's crying out to the Lord God Almighty to have mercy. It is seeking the Lord God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's humbling ourselves before him and boldly approaching the throne of grace in our time of need that we may receive mercy from God. You need help. You're in a situation that we're all in. We're all in some terrible situations. And if we're not in one, we're getting ready to go in one. And if we're not getting ready to go in one, it's because we just came out of one. This happens. It's just a different flavor today for you than it is for me. My life is nonstop suffering. Never quits. This life is meant to be suffering, to set our hearts and minds and our hopes fully on the grace to be given us when Jesus Christ is revealed. You cry out to God. You don't panic because he's not panicked. Michael commentary. It's no coincidence that Lisa and I just read this morning in our Bible study time, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, speaking of the God of all comfort. I'm just testifying to this sister who has lost her father-in-law to suicide about how we all as Christians are going to know a great deal of suffering. In my particular story in ministry, one of the things I believe God had in store for me was a lot of suffering for the encouragement of others who will also go through suffering to know, wow, if God can still get Michael through all of that, still keep him all these years, then surely there's a faith that I can have that will keep me, and God through Christ Jesus will keep me through what I'm going through. But because of the emphasis on suffering in my life, sometimes it can look kind of doomy and gloomy-ish. And we miss sometimes the blessings. I have never wanted to steer people wrong. I've never wanted people to believe in a healthy, wealthy, happy, prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. It's a complete lie. So I've been very transparent about my sufferings, but for whatever reason, I have not, I don't think, been able to make as much of an emphasis on some of the comforts. But if you look for them, I guess some of the miracles, the blessings, the prophetic, the miraculous deliverances, etc., along the way, those probably stand out. But I would like to remind you, those of you who are suffering and who get discouraged in thinking about how much suffering there is in the Christian life, I'd like to remind you that this morning I was telling Lisa that as I look back on my story and hers separately, but because I know mine and mine's got so many details in it, It's easier for me to look at mine and see like a train track. I can see running through my life two rails. On the left rail, perhaps you see a timeline of suffering, event after event, which is full of pain and affliction and difficulty and loss and cross, etc. But then if you are honest and you look at the facts and you look at the data, you'll see another track that runs parallel to that track of suffering, and we'll call that comfort, blessings. And I was reflecting back on that this morning with Lisa, just thinking about all of the incredible comforts that God has brought us. You know, one that came to my mind, I said, wow, look at this. When Alabama had put out the warrant for my arrest, and Kerry and Alabama and the godless district attorney there, who didn't have any care whatsoever about justice and didn't know me, my story at all whatsoever, their plan and purpose for me was to see me suffer, to see me put in jail. And yet, where did God bring me? In the midst of that track of suffering, God put me at the most beautiful season of the year on one of the most meaningful beaches in the world to me, Cape Canaveral, Florida. And you see that video of me that one morning walking with the sun rising, and I'm just weeping at the goodness of God, His comfort. And I have found myself wanting to remind you many times lately that it is not all suffering. It is a lot of suffering, but it is not all suffering. Jesus is compassionate, and He knows that we need some good meals to keep us from collapsing on the way home. I'm seeing it more clearly than ever. God doesn't miss these meals. Oh, He'll test, He'll draw out, but ultimately, when He knows that we've had enough in that season, He brings the comfort. Now listen to this passage as it's read from the NLT Bible. God offers comfort to all, starting in verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Brothers and sisters, I just look at my own example because that's all I have. And I see how as I have suffered and He comforted me in my suffering, I was then able to turn and comfort so many, perhaps even you. It's exactly what's written in the Bible. This isn't like some special thing about me or you. This is what God has ordained for all who are in Christ Jesus. Hence, this is written nearly 2,000 years ago. It's incredible. He writes, He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. So in other words, what's the point of our troubles and what's the point of His comforting us? Is it just to leave us isolated and comfy and cozy? No, it's got a heavenly purpose so that we can take our comfort, which we've received, and turn and comfort others. He writes, when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And then this interesting verse in the NLT. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. And I reminded Lisa this morning as I read that, that so many times I've said to people who came to the testimony initially, and maybe they experienced a bit of jealousy or envy over some of the blessings, the miraculous answers to prayer, the prophetic, the experiences of my spiritual walk, which are wide and various. And it'd be easy to, if you don't know me personally, to come into the story and maybe start to envy it. I mean, there's a place for it even in the Bible. Paul says that what God was doing in him was meant to make the Jews envious. But stick with me. I've often said, be sure if you're going to covet my blessings and God speaking to me and God blessing my faith and blessing my obedience, if you're going to covet that, be sure to also covet my sufferings. You know, I've been saying this for years. Don't just look at the good stuff. Look at the bad and covet that. And so when you're desiring some blessing that you see in my life, make sure you know that that came only on one rail of two rails running through my life. So if you only, because you are prejudiced and you only look at the blessings, you don't see that that's just a second rail, a second experience for me, because the first experience is on the left rail with all the sufferings. It is incredible to me to look at how much suffering I've had. Most people are aware that my life stands out as suffering. I've seen remarkable comments about it from people who have a different perspective on it than me. See, I'm just used to suffering because I've been doing it my whole life. But when I see other people, they come and they're pleading with God in the comment section, please God, Michael has had enough already. I mean, literally, I've had people comment that. But have I had enough of his blessings? That's what I would say to that person. Knowing what I know today, praise his holy name. I would say, if you take away my sufferings, you take away my blessings, and the things that have made my story stand out to other people are a result of how much suffering, which made my story first stand out to other people. If you take away the sufferings, there are no blessings. Let me read this verse again so you can see how God, again, being so careful to fulfill his word, does it so beautifully. Verse 5, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Now, there were long periods of time. Some of you are saying, but Michael, I've been suffering. I'm hearing this message. I'm looking for the comfort. I'm not seeing it. I've been having an awful lot of suffering. Where are these comforts you're talking about? Let me tell you, there have been times, you can hear them in my recordings, where I say, oh God, how much longer? Lord, I don't know how much longer I can go. Father, I'm going to quit. So keep in mind that the fact that God brings comforts doesn't mean that he brings them. And honestly, he rarely brings them when you want him to bring them, when they make sense, because God's working for things that are so much higher than just a change of your circumstances, which ultimately will bring you comfort. He's working for eternity. He's working for you to be totally made holy and sanctified, set apart to live the rest of eternity in heaven. You're being made a child of the kingdom of God. And so God simply uses all these things down here. But let me tell you, in all of these years, 51 years old, I sit so many times with my wife and I say, look at this. Look at how God has so solidly done exactly what he says in his word. Yes, we have a rail of suffering that continues on in our life, but we also have a rail that does not fail of God's comforts that run in our life. And I would be absolutely wicked if I in any way did not disclose to you the faithfulness of God on the rail of blessing and comfort in my life and only ever pointed you to the suffering. And likewise, I would be a heretical hot mess if all I did was focus on God's blessings, God's answered prayers, God's comforts, God's goodies, God's things that he gives for enjoyment and didn't tell you, oh, you are going to have a rail where you suffer. Now listen, please make sure that you're following our example in faith and obedience. Don't expect the kind of results that we're seeing in our heart, in our life, in our comforts, and in our sufferings. God's grace to keep us in them. Don't expect those. If you're not walking in the same, I want to do your will, God. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to stand with you in condemnation of my sinful self. I'm going to ask you every day for the grace to be a Christian. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to say, not my will, but your will be done. If you're following our example, you're going to have the salvation experience, which comes with these two rails, a rail of the sufferings of Christ, which flow into your life, and a rail of the comforts of Christ, which flow into your life. I tell you, they are both beautiful. They are both beautiful. It's like God breaks your leg, and then he comes and he puts the salve, he puts the bandages, he puts the splint in place, and he supports you and comforts you and pats you on your head and puts a cold rag on your head, and he loves you and he comforts you. And as I reflect on how true what I'm saying is, it brings me to easily weep before the Lord, before him, how faithful he has been. And yes, he has hurt me. Brothers and sisters, if you're hurting, don't feel sorry for yourself and stand with faith. Stand with faith that if I'm participating right now by the will of God in sufferings, if I'm losing my life, surely that means I'm finding it. If I'm calling myself a Christian, I am to participate not only just in believing in him, but to suffer for him. And these sufferings of Christ will, Romans 8:28, turn for my good. This is the cup my Father has placed in my hands. I will humble myself before it and I will drink it. And I know that comforts will flow. Because this passage tells me if I see Michael being comforted when he had these sufferings and Lisa being comforted when she had these sufferings, I know that these sufferings and comforts will be the same for me. God will comfort me. Verse 5 again, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. Paul's saying, when we as ministers suffer, it's for your comfort and your salvation. And how many of you could testify to my trouble, my suffering, my tears, my hurt being your comfort? It's exactly what it's written in the Word of God. Continuing, for when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you, just as I am doing right now. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident. We are confident. And brothers and sisters, I tell you that Paul's confidence is my confidence because the same Spirit of Jesus Christ that was in him is in me. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you also will share in the comfort God gives us. End of commentary. God will help you. I remember when Madame Guillot's husband died after he had treated her so horribly, and she patiently endured it because the mother-in-law had just poisoned his mind against her. And he had some business that needed to be taken care of. And he had to settle accounts with people. And suddenly all these people started showing up that needed her attention because he's dead. He can't settle his business matters. He can't, you know, tidy ends up. She was in real trouble. She did the same thing you must do. You must cry out to God. You don't panic. You're panicked right now because God has suddenly come and turned the card upside down. You will have troubles in this life, but take heart. I have overcome it. It doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how painful, it doesn't matter how consequential they seem. Nothing is too hard for God, and all of it is meant for your good. And every single one of these things, with the right attitude of humility, the total dependence on God, that's what humility is. It's totally depending upon God, saying, I have no strength in myself. Help is a good word, but you have to cry out to God. You cry out to him and you lay it all out before him exactly as Madame Guillot did. And you know, Madame Guillot's testimony was remarkable. And suddenly she said this power came upon her, our grace, to do exactly what she needed to do. And she had all this insight about taking care of this problem. And she said that she had never touched these things. She had never had this experience before. And it was just this temporary enabling power that God gave her to get her through the tidying up of all the loose ends. That same God is your God. I know one day I'm going to have to go through things that are really something I struggle with, like family members with health issues or my own or whatever. It's going to be one of the greatest weaknesses I face. I don't look forward to it, but I know that God will be there to help me. And I can cry out to him. And you just humbly depend upon him and you cry out and you spread the whole matter before him. Lord, we have this issue. We have this issue. We have this issue. You tell us to become like children. You tell us that the arm of the Lord is strong. You tell us that you increase the power of the weak. God, we need your help. We need your help. Help us. We don't even know what to do first. We don't know what to do last. We don't know what to do next. And find whatever it is, just that basic thing that you can do, and begin to do it all while trusting in the Lord and trusting him and asking him to help you. Let me tell you something. How many thousands of times I've heard of people going through this type of thing and they don't have any idea how they're going to get through it. God always gets people through. He will get you through. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to have the strength. You don't have. You're in a perfect opportunity to have a testimony on the other side of this, just like I've heard thousands of times, perhaps. Oh, man, and then God came through. And oh, man, then there was this phone call. Oh, man, then there was this check. Oh, man, then this person showed up. Oh, man, then this happened. Oh, then this door opened. God will make a way where there is no way. He may not put the fire out, but he'll get in it with you. Trust him, Charmaine. This is where you find out if the grace that you claim to be in possession of is real. This is why God does this. He tests us. He's preparing our hearts for the life to come. And we get to find out if the grace of Jesus Christ in our heart is real. We don't find out when we're riding the couch of comfort. We find out how we stand with God and where the grace of God is and is not at work in our life when we go through the fire. This is what separates true Christians from false Christians. This is what the Puritans write, not me. This is how you find out. Are you in possession of the true grace of God? I've been through more suffering than any human being I've ever met. I'm just telling you the truth. I've never met another person that has suffered as long. I've been on this planet. I'm in my 49th year. Seven of them have been without suffering. Seven of 49 years. I have a wider variety of suffering in my life than any person I've ever met. Starting from the day that my father trips down the stairs in the hospital trying to leave me and sticks his head through the glass. You know, you've heard them all. It never ends. Neither does the grace. Praise God. Neither does the grace. How did I get it? Oh God, I can't do it without you. Father, I can't. Get me through. Help me, Lord. And he will turn every single difficult thing you and I go through around for the good. Get to the practicals. Get on your knees. Cry out to God, Lord, I don't know what to do. This is a mess. It's horrible. Cry out to God who gives strength. I can't give it to you. I can't do anything for you. I'm not supposed to do anything for you. I'm 10,000 miles away. The only thing I can do for you, Charmaine, is to point to you back to where all the source of all the help and all the strength is. And in a moment, you panic and you run to a man. You don't run to a man. You run to God, sister. I just want you to see, honestly, the only thing I'm doing is telling you what I have been telling people for 10 years. You've got to go back to the Father. He's the only one that can help you. You don't run to a man, you run to God. I know that you just are in a moment of panic. I'm not trying to look down on you. I understand. I know this is a terrible situation, but it's not to God. And if we claim to be followers of Christ, then we need to set up and go, wow, God is sovereign even over this. He's sovereign over everything. Nothing happens that catches him off guard. Nothing happens that he won't give me strength and grace to go through. He will give you the strength. He will provide for you what you need to do. And then it comes down to after you've prayed, you wait upon the Lord. You allow him to begin. He can make a phone call happen. He can make an email come in. He can make a thought come into your mind. He doesn't just have to always speak to you externally. He can make things happen. He can move in you or in other people to will and to act according to his purpose without there having to even be a word spoken. Philippians 2:12 and 2:13. He will give you insight. And then my recommendation to you is Jesus would probably tell you, get up, take your mat and walk. You're going to have to walk. You're going to have to do hard work. He's not going to do it all for you. This is going to be messy. You're going to have to walk through a mess. That's why it's called trouble. That's why it's called tribulation. And you're going to have to tribulate some on the way through it. And you have to stay humble and you have to just go through it and you have to trust God to get you through. He will get you through. If he can get me through all that I've been through in my life that never stops, that's the point of my life, is to show people he has the power to get you through anything. And if he doesn't get you through it, it's because he didn't want you to get through it. He will not fail you. Trust him. Go back to the basics. Do what you did at first. Get on your knees. Tell him what your worries are. Tell him what your concerns are. Tell him what your needs are. Cry out to God for help. He will help you. When I'm sitting there staring down the barrel of a country that doesn't want me to enter in, and instead they want to take my tiny house from me most likely, and I'm in a situation that's so desperate, I'm getting ready to lose not only the 40 some odd thousand dollars at that time that I had spent to get to, well, anyhow, it ends up being $55,000 just to get the tiny house in there. But I'm at the point where I could have lost the tiny house and all the money I spent to get it there. It would have been a $200,000 loss. Right about. I'm in a desperate situation. What did I do? I gave it all to God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, if you want to take my tiny house from me, so be it. God, we cry out. We need help. We need help, Lord. The Lord took care of it. He sent help. He answered prayers. He moved. He made paperwork be processed fast enough to where we got that house out of that port without losing it and losing our every last dime. He provided. He took care. He hurt us in the process. There's no doubt about it. But he provided and he took care of it. And I've seen God do this over and over and over again. He will do the same thing for anyone who trusts in him. If you're living right before God, you're not living in willful, known sin, and you have faith, you can't draw down strength from heaven if you're living in sin or you don't have faith. But if you believe him, that when you speak, he hears you, then he will help you. Cry out to him. He will help you, Charmaine, you know. And I could just repeat myself over and over and over again. This is how simple the Christian life is. The humility to know that you cannot, the faith to believe that he can, and the patience to wait until he does. And also to do whatever practically you can do. There's going to be some of this that you're going to have to practically do. You're going to have to make phone calls. You're going to have to face some confusing paperwork. You may look at some financial difficulties. Welcome to the life. Welcome to life. For a Christian, you're going to suffer. Even if God wanted to take everything away from you, what could you do about it except for to say the Lord has given, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He still will provide for you. He'll still protect you. He'll still look after you. Trust him. I'm going to send you behind this an email, some of my favorite scriptures about trusting God when you're going through something difficulty, and some of my favorite scriptures and also some quotes from people. And you need to go through that and settle your mind. You have to get your mind settled. I'm trying to speak to you almost a little bit like a slap across the face, not in a disrespectful way, but in a way to shake you up out of the anxiety of thinking that this monster is so big that it's just going to eat you and everything in its path. No, it's not. That's why I'm giving you a little gentle, kind of a little just like, you know, you're hysterical. I know you're not, but you could be feeling that way. And I'm just wanting you to kind of just, whoa, come on, let's snap out of this. Let's get back and remember we're Christians. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Put to practice the scriptures, find them, anchor in them, believe them, and present them to God. And God, your word says, and therefore I believe. That's exactly how I've gotten to where I'm at today with God. And it's not some life of prosperity and everything's just always so wonderful. It's suffering. It's difficulty. It's unmet expectations. You know what to do. You've been listening to me tell you about it for years. Now it's time to do it. And may the Lord God Almighty give you the grace to hear and the strength to believe him and trust him and hope in him. Because he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Surely God is my help. It is the Lord who sustains me. And you'll have a testimony. If you trust him, you'll come out of this with a testimony. Man, we went into the flames. Man, it was hot. It was horrible. It was scary. But now, look at what happened. God intervened. He helped us. And this is how he helped us. We didn't think we could do it. We knew we couldn't, but he did. We cried out and God answered. And that'll be your testimony. May God bless you, sister, to have that testimony. I'll send you the email right behind this. Bye-bye.